So we are holding on Chof Amud Bey's three lines from the bottom. Okay, so we've been learning the last couple of days about these passe beirois, these L-shaped poles that you put up around a well to make it allowed to, so now the well itself is a Rosh Hashanah Yochid, now the area around it becomes a Rosh Hashanah Yochid as well, and therefore now you're going to be allowed to draw water from the well and give it to your animal to drink inside the passin. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Ada, lo hutru pase beirois elo lo oiler regolim bilvad." This whole thing of pase beirois was on, the heter was only for oiler regol. They're coming to Yerushalayim with their animals. So therefore they need to have water to drink on the way. So therefore we only allowed it for that purpose, not just them. So the question is, what do you mean? There's a braisa that says that pase berois are only allowed when it comes to an animal. It sounds like it means any animal, not just oiler regolim. The answer is my behemoth's oiler regolim. It means only the animals of the oiler regol. The braisa doesn't always specify things in such detail. It specifies in more detail than a mishnah does, but it doesn't have to specify all the details that's left for the amaroim. So it means specifically the animals of the oiler regol. Aval. Aval Adam, but continues Rabbi Yitzchak, or continues the Braisa. When it comes to a person, if a person wants to get water from the well, metapis va'olam, metapis v'yored, he has to climb up and down with his hands and feet. Meaning he holds on to there'll be handholds and footholds in the wall of the on the side of the well, because inevitably the wall is not completely smooth, and he has to climb down and go and climb up and go get himself water. We don't allow him. The Chachamim are not allowing him to go and draw a bucket of water from there and put it inside the pase beirois for himself to drink. Because he has an alternative, because he's able to do that, as opposed to the animals, they can't very well climb down into the well, so therefore we allow him to draw water for them. If the braisa is going to continue further on, that if the well is too wide to do that, then people are allowed to also, but we'll get to that in a minute. So the Gemara says, "Any, is that so?" V'ha'amar of Yitzchak, amar of Yehuda, amar Shmuel, loy hutru pase beirois, elo le'be'er mayim chayim bilvad. Pase beirois are only allowed for a well of living water, meaning, as we said a couple of days ago, a well that's always welling up with new water, as opposed to a pit where they just store water. You can have a be'er, you can have a well, which there's some mayim chayim in it, but mostly it's rainwater or whatever. So he's saying that it means specifically mayim chayim. The ila behema, now if anyway you can only use the pase beirois for the sake of giving water to an animal, mali chayim mali mechonosin. When who cares whether the water is living water, fresh water, or whether it's water that's collected there in the pit and is stagnant over there. Either way, you can give such water to an animal to drink. So the fact, it's one thing if you say that the water has to be suitable for a person to be able to drink. Okay, then we understand a person is less likely to drink made burris, only if in a pinch he'll drink it. But usually he'd prefer to have fresh water. Animals are not as picky. So if it's only allowed for be'er mayim chayim, then why is it allowed only for animals? The answer is ba'in and midid chazi la'adam. After all, though, the reason is because the water does have to be suitable for a person to drink. Meaning, Rashi explains, since, as the Gemara previously said, what's the mechanism that makes these pase beirois work is the fact that you have a well in the middle. So therefore, you have to have, Rashi says, mayim chashuvim. You have to have water that's significant enough that a person would drink it. Tosfos talks about a couple of possibilities over here. One of them is that maybe if you drew water for your animal, then you're allowed to drink the leftovers. You're just not allowed to draw it for yourself in the first place. Another possibility, Tosfos says, is that you can't put up a pase beirois to begin with where the only purpose you're going to be using it for is for people to be able to drink. Because then people have an alternative. They can go up and down into the well and drink while they're still standing inside the well, and therefore they don't have that heter. For if you set them up for the sake of animals, of the oiler regol, then Tosfos says maybe actually a person would be allowed to draw water from it, l'hatchila. Fine. So the point is then, okay, so according to either of these answers, the point is the water has to be suitable for people. And another idea of it is also, if the water is suitable for people, only then can it be considered that it's a dira. We learned at the beginning of the Perek that an area has to be hukah for the dira in order for the mechitzas to be valid. It has, well, at least if the enclosure is larger than a certain space, then it has to be that it was enclosed for the purpose of living quarters. If you have mayim chayim in there, then the water is important enough to be considered living quarters. If not, if it's only the kind of stagnant water that you would only give animals, then maybe it's not necessarily considered important enough for that purpose.
So the same way a person can go down to drink, the animal can drink, is also directly from the bar?
No, that's the point. The animal can't. The animal has no way of climbing down there. So therefore, you're allowed to draw a bucket of water to give to the animal to drink. Sorry about that. Thanks. I also keep it on the air conditioner. I forgot to. Okay. So the point is that the point is an animal can't climb down there to drink. A person can. So therefore, we're only allowing this passe berois where you need it for animals. On the other hand, the water itself has to be something that's suitable for people to drink. So again, according to Rashi, the point is, morning, that if the water is fresh water, then it's important enough for people. It's important enough for people. Therefore, it can be considered a makom dira. According to Tosfos' way of looking at it, what we mean is it has to be that it was set up to begin with for animals, and once it was, then maybe people are allowed to do it as well. And also another point is that Tosfos' first point is that the water itself has to be fresh enough that people could drink from it, meaning, in other words, that if you draw some for an animal, that a person will be able to drink the leftovers. The bird is usually big enough for a person to climb down into, yeah. So in fact, so gufa, getting back to what we said, loihutru pasta birois el behema bovad, so pasta birois are only allowed when you're giving water to an animal to drink. Abel adam, when it comes to a person who wants to drink from the well, metapis va'ola metapis v'yored, he has to climb up and climb down into the well. By the way, Rabbi Yaakov Emden says, why the lashon ola first then yored? You have to go down into the well first. He says it means as many times as necessary. Even if, let's say, you went down once into the well, and now you have to come up, and then later on you're going to realize, you know what, I have to go down again. Still, that's what you're required to do, rather than go and draw a bucket and put it out in between the pasabiroids for yourself to drink. So that's why Ola first. In other words, even you're down in the well and you're going to come up, and later on you're going to need to go down again. You're still going to be required to do that as many times as necessary. Okay. No, but not the animals, for yourself, where you don't have the heter of using a bucket. That's what we're saying. For you yourself are going down and drinking, and later on you're going to want to drink again and so forth. You're going to have to go down as many times as necessary. There's no point at which we're going to say, you know what, I've gone down enough times already in there, let me just draw a bucket and put it in the street and I'll drink from it that way. That's the point. Yeah. Well, that's true. When it comes to drinking in general, the Morgan Avraham says in Shulchan Aruch, yourself, you give water to drink before you give a drink before your animals. Because when it says v'achalta v'savata, that's food. Water, we find v'ishkisa se'edaves v'iram. Hashem tells Moshe, you make water come from the rock and give water to the people and to their animals. But yeah. Okay. Continues the Brayse. V'im hoyu rechovin. If the well was wide, so it's too wide to be able to climb up and down, you're gonna end up falling in, chafala from an aleph. Afilu la'odam nami, then even a person is allowed to go and draw a bucket of water to drink, because then there's no choice. You can't climb down into it, because it's too wide. If it's narrow, you can hold on to the walls on both sides. The loyimale odem mayim yitin lefnei behem. So he continues the braisa. You're not allowed to fill up water and put the bucket down in front of your animal. So this part of the braisa we analyzed in the Gemara yesterday. Avam amale hu v'shoifach lefnei behema. You can fill up the bucket, pour it out in front of the animal. V'shoisimeleah, and then the animal can drink on its own. So, maski for Rav Onan. So Rav Onan asks on that last part of the braisa, if you're telling me that you're not allowed to keep the, you're not allowed to keep the water in the bucket, you just have to pour it out. Imkein, maha ilu pasta berois. Then in that case, what good are the pasta berois doing? So I'm going to ask back, what do you mean? What do you mean? The point is, without the pasabiros, you wouldn't even be able to fill up a bucket of water because you're carrying from one rishus to another. Now at least you're able to fill up the bucket. Who cares whether you can have the animal drink directly from the bucket or not? What's Rav Anan's problem? Well, the problem is that, in other words, that, well, that's what we have to figure out, what the problem is. Ela mahoyo roisha v'ruba shapora. So why, in that case, if Onan says, if any way you can't allow the animal to drink from the bucket, and the assumption is, as we said in the Gemara yesterday, that we're talking about where you're holding the bucket, where the problem is you may end up carrying the bucket out to Rosh Hashanah, if anyway, so if we're saying you can't hold the bucket, then why do you need roisha v'ruba of the cow inside the pasa b'rois, as we learned yesterday? You shouldn't need that, because in any case, if it's poured out on the ground or into a trough or whatever, then the animal will just drink it from there. Now Tosfos points out the Gemara could have answered that what it is the pasa b'rois help that if you're holding the bucket and you're holding the animal's reins so it can't turn its head, then you'd be allowed to. And the b'raisa would be talking about where you're not holding on to the reins. But Tosfos says Rav Anan didn't like that, didn't want to accept that explanation, because when it says lo yamal, it means generically you're not allowed to fill up at all. It sounds like whether you're holding the reins or not. Another possibility, he says, is that maybe Taka, as we brought in the Gemara yesterday, a possibility, if you're holding the bucket and you're holding the reins, so the animal can't move its head, maybe Taka, you don't need Rosh HaBarubah inside. So the question is, why are we saying you need Rosh HaBarubah in all cases? So the answer is, Omar Abaya. So Abaya says, the answer that we had in the Gemara yesterday, Hocha Maya Skinon, the Avos to Omid Bishos Rabim Gavoya Asara V'Rosh HaBar, V'Rosh HaBar, V'Rosh HaNichnas V'Na Pas, and Chola, we have the whole case yesterday where you have this trough that's in front of Rosh HaYochid. Rashi had explained over there that the animal is actually inside the house. Tosfos said it doesn't necessarily have to be that way, but in any case, the trough itself stands in Rosh HaSarabim. One end of it is after Rosh HaYochid by the house. The other end goes into the area of Ben HaPasim, so you do have a continuous Rosh HaYochid. On the face of it, you should be able to fill up a bucket of water from the well and put it on the end of the Avos, and the animal can drink from there. The problem is we make a gzera because you might find that the end of the avos of the trough where you want to put the water is damaged, and you're going to try to fix it, and you're going to put the bucket down in Rosh HaSarabim and then pick it up again and put it on there, and then you're taking from one rishus to another. So to avoid that, we make a gzera that you just have to pour the, so we said you can't put the bucket down over there, or just mamalehu b'shreifach lifnei behema, you pour it into the trough. In other words, what are you doing? The one end of the trough is within the pasim, so you pour it into that end. The fact that it flows out from there into the other end is not your concern. Well, it's all in Rosh HaSiyachid, so you're still fine. So you're pouring from into one end of Rosh HaSiyachid, it's going to the other end of Rosh HaSiyachid, and the animal is drinking from there, so therefore you're good. No. The original plan was you were going to just put the bucket on the edge of the avos, or inside the avos, and the animal was going to drink from that. Right, but the problem is, again, that you might find a kilkel, you might find that there's... So now what you're doing is you're pouring in the water into the avos. You're pouring it in, but you're pouring it in. We're not worried that you're going to notice a kilkel. It's okay if some of the water leaks out, some of it leaks out. You don't care about that. You're pouring it into the avos, and now the animal can just drink it from there. So that way, it's still all in Rosh HaSiyachid. The problem we had before, what we discussed yesterday was, the intention was you were not going to pour anything. You were going to take the bucket still full of water and put it on or in the Avos, and the animal was going to drink from it. There you have a problem. The place you need to put it on has to be flat. So it might be cracked or damaged or whatever, and then you're going to put the bucket down in order to fix it, and then you're going to pick up the bucket from Rosh HaSiyachid and put it in Rosh HaSiyachid. Whereas if you're pouring the water into the Avos, and it's staying inside the Avos, then you're fine. So the point is, in other words, Abaya is saying that the Braisa has nothing to do with the regular case of giving the animal to drink inside the Pasim, because it's talking about a special case where the animal is outside the Pasim, in the house according to Rashi, in the street according to Tosfos, whatever. Okay. Amar Rav Yirmiyah ba'Abba Amar Rav. So now we're going to talk about, so we mentioned before that pasim b'rois only work for Olei Regel, so now we're going to have a further restriction on them, about them and about another din. Ein burgonin b'bavo, the like pasim b'rois b'chutz l'aretz. The concept of burgonin does not, which I'll explain in a second what that is, does not apply in bavo, and the concept, the heter, pasim b'rois, does not apply any other countries outside Eretz Yisrael. Now, Chutz La'aretz usually means any country outside Eretz Yisrael and the whole rest of the world. Sometimes you have where Chutz La'aretz means outside of Eretz Yisrael and Bavel. Because Bavel had a lot of yeshivas in it, a lot of Bnei Torah, a lot of people who are traveling from one yeshiva to another. So in that sense, they were sort of like Oile Regel. Oile Regel doesn't only mean the ones who are going up for Aliyah Regel, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot to the Beis Mikdash. It means more generally people who are going for a Dvar Mitzvah. So in a place where you have many people are commonly traveling for a Dvar Mitzvah, then you have the Heter of Pasa Berois. So that would apply. You know, it's Yisrael because of Aliyah Regel, in Bavel because of the yeshivas, but not in other countries where they don't have as many yeshivas, as the Gemara is going to explain. What is Burgenin are huts that are set up, for example, by people who are watching the cities or watching the fields. Now, usually you have the rule like this. We're going to learn later on in the Masechta, in the fifth Perek, that when you're measuring the tchum of the city, what you do is any house that is within about 70 and two-thirds amas from the last house in the city is considered an extension of the city. And then you don't measure the tchum. From the main part, you measure from, you draw a line past that house, and you start measuring from there. And if you have another house within 70 amas of that one, then it also counts and so forth, and so you can extend the city, quite far that way. So you're right. So you have over here, for example, you have here is the main part of the city, and then you have here's a house. So okay, you have the 4,001 amma over there that it mentions over there. Ignore that for the moment. We'll deal with that detail later on. But the point is that the city limits gets extended all the way to there. And the din is, it doesn't even have to be full-fledged houses. It's enough it's enough if they're burgonin, these kind of temporary huts that are set up by watchmen. So the point is that you can hold one person at least, right? So Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba wants us to know that that concept does not apply in Bavel. So why not? Burgonin b'Bavel loy. The reason why Burgonin does not apply in Bavel, d'shchichi bigki, because floods are common, and the floods are gonna wash away the Burgonin. So they're not considered permanent enough, at least in Eretz Yisrael, which is a fairly dry country. Then the Burgonin have a certain permanence to them, and therefore they can count. But in Bavel, they're just gonna get washed away. Pasibiroes for Chutz La'aretz loy, and Pasibiroes cannot be used in Chutz La'aretz outside Eretz Yisrael and Bavel, because you don't have a lot of yeshivas in Chutz La'aretz. In those days, all the big yeshivas, or almost all the big yeshivas, were in Eretz Yisrael and in Bavel. So, no, but the point is, the area between Bavel and Eretz Yisrael is neither Bavel nor Eretz Yisrael, maybe. I don't know. I mean, it depends what you look at the borders of Eretz Yisrael. I mean, you have, there's a city that's mentioned in a couple of places in the Gemara called Biram, which was on the border of Bavel. So if you consider Biram to be part of Eretz Yisrael, and the Gemara in Kedushin does, for example, then yeah, you have a continuous path over there, the desert over there that you have to cross through to get from Eretz Yisrael, from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael would be considered part of Eretz Yisrael for that. If not, then not. I'm not sure about that point. Right, so I don't know. People were not Oile Regel from Chutz La'aretz all that commonly. It could happen. People might, but they weren't actually required to. There's actually, you know the story in Sochem over there about the guard.
Alexander.
One second, Avramash.
We have to stop interrupting the shear. It's just delays.
These are points that are worth mentioning. Anyway, I was going to have fine. Then we'll continue. Yeah. Okay, no. The point is, you have the story in Pesachim with the goy who pretended to be a yid, and Rabbi Hudim and Beseira told him you should ask for the tail, and that exposed him, et cetera. So Tosfos asked the question over there, why isn't Rabbi Hudim and Beseira himself being Oile Regel? And then one answer is because he was in Chutz La'aretz, and in Chutz La'aretz you're not required to. Right. Okay, onward. So you can't have Burgen in Bavel because they get washed away, and you can't have Pasa Berois in Chutz La'aretz because you don't have enough people who are going for Dvar Mitzvah, such as to learn in the yeshivas. Aval Ipcha Avdinan, but vice versa you could do. You could have Burgonin in other places in Chutz La'aretz because floods are not as common, and you could have Pasa Berois in Bavel because you have the Bnei HaYeshiva go from one city to another to learn Torah. Ikadamri, another version is Amar Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba Amar Rav, Ein Burgonin u'pase berois loy b'Bavel v'loy b'Chutz La'aretz. No, neither of these things applies in Bavel or in Chutz La'aretz. Burgonin b'Bavel loy d'shchichi bidki, because in each place, in Bavel and in the rest of Chutz La'aretz, you have problems. In Bavel, you have floods. B'Chutz La'aretz, namid loy, in Chutz La'aretz, Burgonin wouldn't work d'shchichi ganvi, because ganovim are much more common over there. And they steal, either they steal the things in the Burgonin, so people don't stay in them, They might even steal the actual brew gun itself and carry it off. So therefore, they can't be considered a place where people will actually live. So therefore, nothing doing. Now, unlike in the first version where we said you can have Pasa Berois in Bavel because people go from one place to another to learn Torah, the second version we're saying no, because on the other hand, in Bavel, you have a lot of water. The whole point of Pasa Berois is you may have a hard time finding water for your animals, and therefore we give you this heter. In Bavel, they have a lot of rivers, they have canals and whatever. It's very easy to get water. You don't need to have a well in Rosh Hashanah Rabim, which you're going to surround to make the area Rosh Hashanah in order to be able to just go to the nearby river or something. And the Chutzlaret Nami, Lord Lashkhim Sivasa, and in Chutzlaret you have less Mesivtis, less Yeshivas, so therefore you don't have either of the Heterim. So Lemaisa, in Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't bring the whole concept of Pasa Berois, because what we're saying over here is it only applies in Eretz Yisrael and in Bavel, where there's people going a lot from one yeshiva to another. The concept of Burganon, on the other hand, the Alter Rebbe mentions in Shulchan Aruch that if you have a place where there's not floods, where floods are not common, and where Ganovim are not common, then yes, you can use Burganon as an extension of the city. Otherwise, not. Okay. Fine. Yeah, well, no, we're saying no, because we're saying in Bavel, even we'd say no, it's not necessarily only in the time of the Messianic. We're saying in Bavel, they were, according to the first version, they were allowed to because you had people who are traveling between one yeshiva and the next. Okay, so now we're going to have a piece of Agadah. It's a little hard to see what the connection of this next piece is. Actually, before we get to the Agadah, actually, we have something else first. Amalit of Chistel Amori Breder of Huna Breder of Yirmi Ba'aba. Amri, they say, Asisu mi Baunash lebe Knish Daniel. You guys walk on Shabbos from Baunash to the Shul of Daniel. The Shul of Daniel, we know the famous story in Sefer Daniel, that at one point the ministers of Daryavesh got him to pass a law that for the next 30 days nobody can daven to anybody except to you. Because we want to establish your kingship very firmly. Daniel continues to daven three times a day like he did before. They mastered on him and he ended up getting thrown into the lion's den. And Hashem saved him in Derech Nes. The place where Daniel davened, where he had his house and where he davened, they made afterwards into a shul. And now, hundreds of years later, in the time of Amoraim, people are still davening in that shul. So Rav Chista is saying to Mori, the son of Rav Huna, the son of Rav Yirmi Ba'aba, they say that you are walking from Baunash, which is the city where you live, to this Shul of Daniel, to have a Tlosi Parsi, which is three Parsis, which is much more than a Tchum Shabbos. This Shabbos, and you're doing this on Shabbos. The question is, how are you doing that? That's much more than a Tchum Shabbos. Amai Samchitu. So what are you relying on? On the fact that there are a Burganin? You're relying on the fact that there are a Burganin between Baunash and there? Ha'omar Avur Davur Meshmei D'Rav. Your own grandfather, Rabbi Yirmi Ba'aba, said in the name of Rav, as we just said, Ein Burganin B'Bavel, that the concept of Burganin does not apply in Bavel because of the floods. Nothak va'achvilei, so Mori answered Rav Chista by going out and showing him Hanu Masvasa. There were these old ruined cities, Dimivlon, B'Shivim Am B'Shirayim, where each one was within 70 2/3 amas of the next one. In other words, they're not Burganin. What there were is, there used to be cities over there, there used to be buildings. The buildings over time collapsed, but you still had the walls of them left. That's enough to be considered. We're going to learn when we learn these details in the fifth paragraph. We're going to learn that that's enough to make it that it's considered an extension of the city. Tosfos discusses over here: does Masvasa mean little villages? Does it maybe mean larger cities? Anyway, the point is that within 70 amas of the edge of Baunish, you had one of these. Within 70 amas of that, you had another one. All the way for the whole three parasar, or almost all of it, until the Shul of Daniel, and therefore they were actually allowed to walk there on Shabbos. Okay, so now we're going to have a piece of. I guess we're okay. So now we're going to have a piece of Agadah, which is a little bit difficult to see what the connection of this piece of Agadah is to the Gemara we were just learning. It starts out, Omer of Chista, Dorash Mori Barmar. It's possible, the only possibility that I've seen, I saw them quoting from Rav Chaim Kanievsky, that maybe Mori Barmar over here is the same Mori, Breder of Huna, Breder of Yemi Ba'aba, that we just quoted. So we quoted him in something in Halacha, and now we're quoting him in something like Agadah. Could be. Rav Chista, we said, Rav Chista had asked Mori Barmar this question. Now also Rav Chista is saying him. Okay. So Omer Rav Chista, Dorash Mori Barmar, my dichtiv l'chol tichlo ra'isi keitz rechova mitzvah samoy. The Pasuk says in Tehillim, we say it every day now in the Rebbe's Kapitel, to all desires, I found an end. But your mitzvah is very wide. So in other words, the mitzvahs, the details of the mitzvahs, meaning Torah Shabbat Peh, is very, very wide. There's very wide, meaning there's no end to it. So how big is the Torah? Dovah's almost David like Pirshoy. So David said this, but he didn't explain how big is the Torah. Later people, Eov and Yechezkel also refer to it, as we're going to quote Pesukim, and none of them explain the actual size of the Torah. Ad Shabbat Zechariah ben Ido, until the Novi Zechariah at the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash comes, or Pirshay, and he explains it. Meaning, Amre David v'loy Pirshay, so David says it, but he doesn't fully explain it. So he says the mitzvah, I mean the detail, the mitzvahs of the Torah are very wide, but how wide we don't know from that passage. Amre Eov v'loy Pirshay, dichtiv arucha me'eretz midor rechava min yam. Eov says, I mean it's actually part of the speech of Tzofar, one of Eov's friends in there, but whatever, the Gemara is calling it Eov because the whole Sefer is named after Eov. So the Pasuk says, he says over there, arucha me'eretz midor, it's longer than the earth, or rechava min yam, and wider than the sea, but also doesn't explain how big it is. Omri Yechezkel will appear. So Yechezkel also talks about the Torah, but he doesn't explain the size of it. Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, Vayifres Oiselafana. Yechezkel describes how Hashem showed him a Megillah, and that Megillah, the Pasuk says, he spread it out in front of me. Behik Suva Ponim Va'acher. It was written on the front and on the back. Vakosavelea Kinim Varhege Vahi. There was written in it Kinim, Hege, and He. And what do those three words mean? Kinim zeuponanus and shal tzadikim ba'olam hazeh. Kinim refers to the troubles and the punishments and suffering that tzadikim suffer in this world. Dichtiv, and we know that the word kinim means something sad. As we find in the pasuk, the word kina means a sad thing that you sing about people. The context of the word kina hivakoninua, as Yechezkel is talking about the various goyish nations that are going to wind up in Gehenna, like moon for them, that they're being destroyed. We see that the word kina means something to mourn about. We say kina santan tishabab, sure. Vahege zumatan schoron shal tzadikim la'asid lavoi. The word hege is the contrast, means the reward of the tzadikim la'asid lavoi. We use the word, a similar word to Hege. We say in Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos, Alehi Goyen Bechiner, that you sing with Higoyen on a harp. So we see that Hege, Higoyen, represents something happy. The word he, the third thing, refers to the punishment of the Rishayim in the future. Another pasuk in Yechezkel says that event or destruction will come upon event. In other words, that there's going to be many events that are happening, many, many, many aspects of the Churban and whatever. So you see, the word hoiva and the word he, which is related to it, refers to destruction and then punishment. So in other words, the point is, so Yechezkel is seeing Torah Shabbat Peh, which explains these points very clearly. In Torah Shabbat Chsav, we don't really have very much about the reward La'asid Lavoi. It's barely mentioned in Torah Shabbat Chsav. The fact that tzaddikim have it bad in this world is also, I mean, you have places in Torah Shabbat Chsav where the question is discussed, but there's not really an explanation given. And then there's the fact that the Rishayim are going to get their punishment La'asid Lavoi is not really mentioned much in Torah Shabbat Chsav. All these things are explained more in Torah Shabbat Peh. So in other words, Yechezkel saw a Megillah that the Gemara is saying that had Torah Shabbat Peh written in it. But still, we don't know from Yechezkel's description the size of it. Ad Shabbat, Zechariah ben Idoy, Pirshay, until Zechariah ben Idoy came and explained it. Dichtiv, you have a pasuk, Vayomer Eli, the Malach says to Zechariah, Ma Ataroya, what do you see in your Nevuah? Vayomer, and I, Zechariah, said, Ani Roya Megillah Offa, I am seeing an Offa scroll. Now, some of the Mefarshim on the pasuk explain that Offa means flying. But some of them explain, and the Gemara is also taking it in this way over here, that the word offer comes from an Aramaic shurdash that means folded. The word in Aramaic for folded is if. And we had it in Shabbos, for example. So it means I see a folded Megillah. Orka Esrim Ba'ama Baruch Ba'esav Ama. It's 20 Amos by 10 Amos. Now, let's analyze what he means by that. Now, the Gemara is assuming, first of all, if it's folded, that means it's really double the size. But also, the Gemara is assuming that this is the same Megillah that Yechezkel saw. Yechezkel, we said, saw it written on the front and on the back. So you have to count that also. So therefore, v'chipashtas law. So if you unfold that Megillah that Zechariah saw, havalei esrin v'esrin, then it comes out 20 by 20. and Chtiv Hiksuv upon him v'acher, 20 amos by 20 amos. Yechezkel saw it written on the front and on the back. So therefore, v'chikalfas la. So if you peel the front and the back apart, in other words, put them side by side, kama havila, how much do you get? Aboin v'estrin, 40 by 20 amos. Now, we don't mean human amos. We mean, so to speak, Hashem's amos. So what is, how do we figure the scale of Hashem's amos? Uchtiv, you have a pasuk in Yeshaya, in the Haftarah of Shabbos Nachmu, mi modad b'shalei mayim, the pasuk says, who measured out the water with his handfuls, v'shamayim b'zeres tikin, and he set up the shamayim with his zeres. A zeres, we've learned before, is a half an amma, three tvachim. So therefore, it means, in other words, that the whole heavens and the earth that's underneath them are all equal, so to speak, to half an amma in Hashem's measurements. So it means, therefore, so in other words, the whole Shemayim and Aretz is one quarter of a square amma, because a half an amma makes a square of an area of a quarter of an amma. We just said that the Megillah is 20 by 40, which equals 800 square amas. So it means, so 800 versus a quarter, nimtza kol ha'olam kulay echad m'shloishas alafim masayim b'tarda. So it comes out that the entire world is 1/3200th of the size of the Torah. Torah Shabbat Peh, we're talking primarily. So the whole world is one, meaning, you know, Shemayim and Aretz, the whole Gashmiistic world that we see is as vast as it is, as many billions of light years that it is in across, is 1/3200th of Torah Shabbat Peh. Dalton Rebbe actually mentions in Hilchos Talmud Torah a practical thing that comes out from it. On the one hand, a person should never say, well, Torah Shabbat Peh is so vast, I can never learn the whole thing. When we talk about it, Hilbert, the size of Torah Shabbat Peh, we mean when we're talking about, you have not just the actual halachas, there's a certain number of them you have in Shulchan Aruch, you have in the Rambam, you have whatever, you have a finite number of halachas that we actually have. The pupil of the Torah, this that you're able to deduce halachas from other halachas, things like that. That's, as we're saying over here, is a huge number of times, a huge number of times the size of the world. But, so you're saying that Yechezkel saw it and Zechariah saw it. It doesn't say whether they. I mean, the Pashas Yechezkel did, because he describes the contents of it. So that's the point. In other words, there's more and more Sfarim, because, in other words, so it's all implicit in Torah Shabbat Peh. The point is, in other words, that Torah, in other words, no end, there's an end, so that's the Alter Rebbe stresses. There is an end to the actual halachas that we need to know. So a person has to make it his responsibility to learn all of the halachas of Torah. But then, when you go beyond that, when you're going beyond just learning the halachas, to actually delving into them and explaining the deeper ideas behind them and to compare one halacha with the other and derive new ones, that kind of thing that we're saying is much larger than the world. So Maharsha explains that we have the four different ones. We're saying David, Eiv, Yechezkel, and Zechariah. Each of them is describing a different dimension of Torah. You have like this. You have the actual halachas. You have the actual halachas and details of the mitzvahs. You have the reasons behind them. You have the Maisa Bereshis, and you have Maisa Merkava. So David is only describing one dimension. The Torah is very wide. Eiv is adding another dimension. The Torah is also very long, Aruka and Rechava. Yechezkel is adding the third thing that you also have. You should know there's also Maisa Bereshis to consider. It's on the back. It's like hidden from your eyes, but it's there. And then Zechariah is explaining the whole thing, all four dimensions of it, and therefore that's why we're saying, like, you combine it together and you unfold it and you take the back and put it together with the front, so that way you have all four dimensions. So that's what we're saying, 3200. As 3200. I don't know. Right from it. Okay. There's a mimer of the Rebbe Maharash where he explains what's the significance of the number 3200. We know there's Lamed Beis Nesivos Chochma, the 32 paths of Chochma with which Hashem created the world, the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis and the Asara Mamores. Each of them multiplied by 100, because each one is Kol Miyud, Miyud Miyud. Each one contains the 10 spheres, and the 10 spheres themselves contain the 10. Each one contains the 10 spheres with it. So therefore, you wind up with 3,200. That's what he explains. You have Chochma Yilah of the Torah versus Chochma Tata with which Hashem created the world. We say that Hashem Chochma Yosad Oretz. We also say Torah is Chochma Sir Ratzon Shalach Hashem Baruch Hu. So that Chochma Yilah is 3,200 times greater, metaphorically, than the Chochma with which Hashem created the world. V'omer of Chista, Dorosh Mori Bar Mar. Also, Rav Chista says, Mori Bar Mar gave another drasha, about another drasha. My dichtiv, a pasuk in Yirmiyah says like this. Yirmiyah saw a nevuah, v'hine shnei dudoi te'enim mu'odim lifnei heichal Hashem. There were two pots full of figs placed in front of the heichal, in front of the Beis Mikdash. Hadud ha'echad te'enim tovis ma'od kise'enei habakuros. One pot was full of very, very good quality figs, like the early ripening figs, the kind that everybody would want to eat. The other one is full of very bad figs, which they're so bad they can't be eaten. So in context, in the psukim over there, it's talking about and Hashem tells him the first one represents the people who went into Golos with Yechonia, where we 11 years before the Churban Bayis Rishon, where we know that they included many tzaddikim and Talmid Chachamim. You have the famous Chorash v'Hamasker, the carpenters and the locksmiths, which the Gemara explains in a number of places, means the great Talmid Chachamim. So they included them, and included various Nevi'im, for example, Yechezkel, and included Daniel, and so forth. So they were the very high-quality Jews. And the pasuk goes on to say that Hashem says in Nevuah that they're going to, and eventually they and their children are going to be restored to Eretz Yisrael, and they're going to have a geula from Golos Babel. Then the one full of very bad figs represents the Jews who were left in Yerushalayim, who Tzidkiyahu was ruling over them. Most of them are Amei Oretz and Rishoyim. So the pasuk goes on. So they're worshiping Avodah Zarah, they're doing other Avodahs. So the pasuk goes on to describe that they're going to suffer terribly in the Churban. They're going to die of hunger or the sword or this or that or whatever. So the Gemara explains over here in a similar vein, Te'enim atovis elot tzaddikim gemurim, the good figs represents the tzaddikim gemurim, including the ones who went into Golos with Yechonia. Te'enim arois elu reshoyim gemurim, the bad figs represents the reshoyim gemurim, who are left in Yerushalayim being ruled over by Tzidkiyahu. V'shema toima ovad sivrim uvotol sekoyam. Now you're going to think, the pasuk just goes on to say that the te'enim arois are going to end up suffering from all the tragedies of the Churban and whatever. So you would think that's it, they're goners, the Hashem wants nothing more to do with them. No, Talmud Loimar, therefore you have a different pasuk in Shir HaShirim that tells us that after all, even those people have a future. You might think, ovad sivrim, their ideas are gone, or batal sikoyam, their hope for the future is gone. In other words, they're goners, they lose, they're going to end up losing Olam Haza and maybe Olam Haba as well. No, Talmud Loimar had dudoim nosnu reach. You have a pasuk in Shir HaShirim that says the dudoim give a fragrance. Now, dudoim, the simple meaning of it is it's a kind of herb. It's the famous one that Reuven brought to Leah, and then Rachel asked for them, etc. The Gemara is darshining over here the word dudoim as related to the word dud. We just had before, adud ha-echad, adud ha-sheni, so adud ha-adud ha-echad. So therefore, the Gemara is explaining dudoim is the plural of dud. So it means both dudim, both pots full of figs, nostu reach, they give a fragrance, elu ve-elu ha-sidim sheitin reach. Both the tzaddik Gemurim, and even the Rishoyim Gemurim in the future are going to give a fragrance. Because as we learned the other day in the Gemara, they get cleaned up in the washing machine in Gehenna. They cry bitter tears over there, realizing that Hashem judged them truthfully. And eventually they come to Gan Eden, and they also, lost love, give a fragrance just like the Tzaddikim. Even the Rishayim. So again, the two pots of full of figs that Yirmiyah saw, one of them represents the Tzaddikim, the other one represents the Rishayim. In context, in the pasuk over there, he's saying they're going to be destroyed and killed and whatever in the siege and the Churban. But nevertheless, the pasuk is telling by the other pasuk, Adudoyim, Nosnu Reach, the fact that the pasuk chooses, the fact that Hashem chose to why he had to show him the figs in pots, that he could have just showed him two piles of figs or something. The fact that it's in pots, where pot is called a dud, goes together with the pasuk hadudoyim nosnu reach, that both pots full of figs eventually give a good fragrance, and then Hashem has pleasure from both of them. Yeah. Okay. Dorash Rava, so now Rava also darshens that pasuk adudoyim nosnu reach, but in a different way. My dichtiv adudoyim nosnu reach, eila bachure Yisrael shle tamu tam chet. This refers to the young Jewish men who have not tasted the taste of Averis, because they haven't, chet or Avera in the Gemara a lot of times means specifically znus. So the Jewish men, the Jewish young men, unlike their Goyish counterparts, are careful and they're not involved in znus before they get married. So that's, they're represented in the pasuk by the dudoyim, which are a fragrant flower. They increase the taiva of a husband and wife for each other, which is why Rachel wanted them in the first place. So that represents these bachurei Yisrael. And the pasuk continues. So the whole pasuk in Shir Hashirim goes like this: Hadudoyim nosnu reyach. The dudoyim have given their fragrance. Ba'al pesachenu kol megodim. By our doors are all kinds of delicacies. Hadoshim gam yishanim. New ones and old ones. Dodi tzafanti loch. My beloved one, which is Hashem, I have hidden them all away for you. So the Gemara is dashing in the pasuk phrase by phrase. Hadudoyim nosnu reyach is the bachuri Yisrael. When it continues, by our doors are all kinds of delicacies. That means, Elu b'nois Yisrael, shemagidos pischein lebaleihem. That refers to the Jewish women who tell megodim, meloshin magidos, pischeihem, their openings to their husbands. In other words, they tell their husbands when they became nida, so that they know their husbands know to stop having relations with them. And another explanation is megodim is related to the word oigres. They tie up their entrances and reserve them only for their husbands. Again, in other words, unlike the goyish women who are promiscuous and are mezana with anybody, the Jewish women are careful and they only have and they're tzniyistic and they only have relations with their husbands. The pasuk continues chadoshim gam yeshanim dodi tzafantilach, the new as well as the old. My beloved one, I've hidden away for you. What is the new and the old? Omra Knesset Yisrael lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu means that the Jewish people say to Hashem, Ribono Shel Olam, Harbei Gzeiros Gazarti Al Atzmi Yosim Masha Gazarti Alai. I made on myself, we Jewish people made on ourselves, many more Gzeiros than you put on us, V'kiyamtim, and we fulfilled them. In particular, Marsha says this refers particularly when it comes to Nida. Minatora, after all, you only have a woman is Nida for a maximum of 7 days, right? Midrabanan, you have the Chumra Dirabzera, that any tipas dam, she sits for Shiva Nakim as if she was a Zava, and nowadays we even have the 5 days before it. So we have many Xeras and Takanas that we voluntarily accepted on ourselves in this and in many other areas, and we've kept them. So that's the Chadoshim Dam Yeshanim. Not only do we have the new mitzvahs and Xeras and Takonis that we've accepted on ourselves, as well as the old ones that were originally given at Harsinai. So in this connection, Rav Chista says to one of the Rabbanon who used to arrange Agadtas in front of him. So this Rabbanon, this person, he was an expert in Agadta, and he would prepare statements of Agadta and then say them over in the Bais Medrash in front of Rav Chista, and Rav Chista and his Talmidim would be able to learn them and analyze them. So he asks him, Mishmialoch Chadoshim Gam Yeshanim Mahu, have you heard any explanation what the words Chadoshim Gam Yeshanim mean in this pasuk? Amalei, so he says to him, Eilu Mitzvahs Kalus Ve'Eilu Mitzvahs Chamuras. It refers to the easier mitzvahs and the hard mitzvahs. Now, in what sense is that new and old? Marsha explains, when we say kalus and chamuris, kalus means like the basic mitzvah itself, and chamuris means all the details of the mitzvah. Let's say, for example, with Shabbos. Kalus is the basic thing that you should rest on Shabbos. Chamuris would be all the details of the malachas. Now, obviously, you can't learn about the details of the malachas before you've learned the concept of Shabbos at all. So, therefore, the kalus can be called the old ones, because they came first, and then afterwards come the chamuris, the details. Rabbi Yaakov Emden puts it a different way. He says the vert is something that's easy to do, something that's new feels easy to do, even if objectively it's much harder. Something that's hard to do, something that's the other way around, something that's old, something that you already know from a while ago, even if it's easy, yeah, it's boring, I don't want to do it again. So therefore, there is a certain direct connection between new and easy versus old and hard. Anyway, so the new and the old represent the easy and the hard mitzvahs. Amalei, Rav Chista says that doesn't work. B'chitorah, pa'amim nitna. What do you think? The Torah was given piecemeal. The Torah was given all at once on Har Sinai. So what do you mean chadoshim and yeshanim? The concept of Shabbos and the malachas of Shabbos were all given at the same time. Rather, it means the Chadoshim, as we said before, the Divrei Sofrim, which they're new because they come in later generations. And then the Yeshanim are the original mitzvahs of the Torah. Okay. Jorash Rava, so now further in this connection about the Takanos and Gzeiros of the Chachamim, Rava Darshan, my dichtiv v'yosim mehem abni hizar, the last one of the last psukim of Kehelas, says, more than these, my son, be careful. This is Shlomo HaMelech talking to his son specifically or to the Jewish people generically. More than these, be careful, my son, be careful. Asos Sfarim Harbe, the grammar, making books, there's going to be no end. Asos Sfarim Harbe Ein Kates is the way that is the Lashon HaPasuk. So what does that mean? Bni, he's saying, my son, which means also my Talmud, he's Zohar, b'divrei Sofrim, yosim b'divrei Torah. Be more careful with divrei Sofrim, even more than divrei Torah. That's what it means, yosim ehema. Even more than these, all the divrei Torah that already exist, be even more careful with the dvarim of the Chachamim. Because when it comes to the Torah, you have some things the Torah tells you to do, some things the Torah tells you not to do. Not all of them involve punishment. A mitzvah saseh doesn't involve punishment. Not even loisah says involve, not even all loisah says involve punishments necessarily. The divrei sofrim, whereas when it comes to divrei sofrim, kol ha'over al divrei sofrim chayav misa. A person is over on divrei sofrim, any of them, he's chayav misa. Now, why should a person be more chayav for divrei sofrim than for divrei Torah? Rabbi Yona gives a reason. A person is over on Divrei Torah, okay, it can mean, you know, he's lazy, he's not feeling, you know, he's not feeling up to it or whatever. So, okay. On the other hand, a person goes against Divrei Sofrim, it means he's deliberately rejecting, saying that the Sofrim have no right to make these rules. Well, that's a pretty serious thing. That's Kvira. So, therefore, he gets a much more severe punishment of Misa. Al Pichsidus, there's the idea, it talks about that the Divrei Chachamim, the Gzeres and Tarkonis of the Chachamim, are like a person's house. It's Makif HaRochav. You have in Chsidus, there's Makif HaKorev, the closer Makif to a person, like his clothing, and Makif HaRochav, the further out one, like the house. And a little quack in the house is a pretty serious thing. The whole thing can come down on your head. So therefore, the same thing, a little tiny quack in not keeping Divrei Sofrim can have very serious consequences. Then continues Rava with his Rasha. Shema Toimerim Yesh Ben Mamash Mepneim Malay Nichtavu. So you might ask, so if the Divrei Chachamim are so important, then why weren't they written down? Omakras, so Svarim, Haba, in Kates. That's why the pasuk continues, making Svarim there will be no end. Because like we said before, the Torah Shabbat Peh is 3,200 times the size of the entire world, or the entire universe, whatever. So there'd be no, it would be impossible to write down the whole thing. So therefore, instead it was kept as Torah Shabbat Peh. Until it had to be written down because the people were starting to forget it. The Chidah, by the way, has an interesting point in it on this Gemara. He says, you find after the time of the Gemara, there was a tremendous Yuridus Adurus. You have, for example, that after that, you have there's no Chacham ever again who what he says, his Pesachim and Halacha or anything are accepted by the entire world. Each place has its own Minhagim. People are, you don't have yeshivas. You don't have, in the old days, you had yeshivas where tens of thousands of people would come. Nowadays, you have Kam, a few hundred people in most yeshivas, etc. What changed, he says, is this fact that Torah Shabbat Peh was written down. Up until that point, when they were learning at Baal Peh, they had to put in this tremendous effort, as the Gemara is going to say now, into learning Torah Shabbat Peh. That itself made them on a much higher level. After it had to be written down. Okay, it had to be written down. There was no choice. It was going to be forgotten. Eis lasis Hashem and all that. But still, it caused a tremendous yuridus adurus. The fact that a person doesn't have to put their mind to memorizing Torah Shabbat Peh anymore. Yeah. Okay. That same pasuk in Kehelas continues. The lahag harbe yigias pasuk. That same pasuk continues. With much lahag, there is the hard work of flesh. So what does that mean? Amar Papa. So the Gemara first dashes the word lahag as like the word la'ag, which means making fun. Amar Papa, Breder of Achaba Adam, Shmeder of Achaba Ula, Melamed. This pasuk teaches us. A person who makes fun, lahag and laag are related because a hey and an ayin are both sounds that you make in the throat. So it means a person makes fun of divrei chachamim nidan b'tsoya reisachas. He gets punished in Gehenna in boiling tsoya. We have the famous Gemara in Gittin that we learn on Tisha B'Av mentions that oisa ish is punished like that in Gehenna because he's a perfect example of maligal divrei chachamim. So therefore, in other words, the idea is the lahag, if there is making fun, harbe yigias baso, there'll be much wearying of flesh. In other words, that a person is punished with what makes a person weary. It wears a person out to go to the bathroom and to excrete. So therefore, that he gets punished with that. Why dafka does he deserve to get punished with soya resachas? I saw a vote from Nachman Breslover, because such a person thinks that the divrei chachamim are something unnecessary. They're like a waste product. So therefore, he gets punished with the waste product. Why half? Because Bepashtus makes it a better punishment. But also, yeah, the Rambam actually has an expression about it in Pirush Mishnayos that the idea is this itself, the gnai that he made, that he dared make fun of the Divrei Chachamim, that itself, in a way, is the biggest punishment. That itself deserves to be that Tzoyer Reisachas is like not even as repulsive and disgusting as the kind of attitude that he had towards the Divrei Chachamim. Maskiflo Rava, however, Rava asked on that. That may well be true. It is true, fine, that the Rishoyim do got punished like that. But is that what the Pasuk means? Miksiv la'ag, after all, the Pasuk doesn't say la'ag with an ayin. La'hag, ksiv, it says la'hag with a hay. And la'hag with a hay means working hard. Ela kol ha'hoyga behen. So what it means is a person who delves into the words of Torah, la'hag, maloshen hoyga, maloshen, as we said, anamad aleph, alehi goyen mechiner, bina hagigi, many different psukim, where the word hege means, among other things, to speak. So a person speaks and thinks about words of Torah, toyim tam boser, he tastes the taste of meat. In other words, he realizes a tam, he realizes he gets a tam in his learning, and it feels like the pleasure that a person has from eating meat. There's taka a connection between learning Torah and eating meat. You have the famous expression, the Alter Rebbe brings in Tanya, for example, that where Rava said, Adayin lo achilna bistur de Torah, I haven't yet eaten my daily beef, and therefore my head is not as sharp to learn Torah. Right, so we see that there's a direct connection between learning Torah and meat. Yeah. Turn it up on him. We learn in a brisa speaking about the importance of Divrei Chachamim. Ma'aseh Rabbi Akiva shayachovush beveis asurim. It happened that Rabbi Akiva was in jail, as we know, the famous thing that he was put in jail for teaching Torah. V'hoyer Rabbi Yeshua Hagarsi Meshorosid. Rabbi Yeshua Hagarsi was attending to him, was bringing him food and whatever. Garsi, Rashi explains, was either he comes from a place called Geres, or it means that his job was making grisim, which is split peas. Anyway, whatever it is, he was one of Rabbi Akiva's talmidim, so he was able to serve Rabbi Akiva in jail. Mestama, I'm sure, you know, you can imagine behind the scenes, they probably have to pay the Romans a nice big fat bribe to allow that, but whatever, anyway. So, okay. Every day he would bring him a certain amount of water, enough to be able to wash for bread and to be able to drink. And one day the guard at the prison meets up with Rabbi Yeshua Hagarsi. He says to him, what's going on? You have a lot of extra water over here today. It could have been a new guard. It could have been Sam, one of the old guards, and he decided today to take the opportunity to harass Rabbi Yeshua. Whatever it is, you have a lot of water over there. What do you need so much water for? He doesn't know Natilas Yadayim, after all. As far as I'm concerned, you're going to use it to try to dig out from the jail, because you're going to use, you're going to pour some of the extra water on the ground, soften the dirt, and then you're going to be able to more easily dig the dirt and get Rabbi Akiva out of jail. No, nothing doing. He poured out half the water, and left Rabbi Yeshua with only half the water. When he finally came into the jail to Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva didn't know why there had been a delay. Like this, Rabbi Yeshua is usually there at a certain time. Like this, he's late because of this. Rabbi Akiva didn't know what happened. He says, Yeshua, don't you realize that I'm old and my life depends on yours? In other words, if you're late, then what's going to be with me? How come you're late? So Rabbi Yeshua, he was 120, yeah. So Rabbi Yeshua told him what happened, that it wasn't my fault. The guard accosted me and then forced me in. So Rabbi Akiva says, okay, ten li mayim she'etor yadai. Fine, give me the water and let me wash my hands for bread. Amalai, so Rabbi Yeshua says, lishtes ein magiyin. There's not going to be enough to drink over there. Lito yadecha magiyin. What do you mean? If you use them to wash your hands, you're not going to have enough left to drink. What are you going to do then? Amalai, so Rabbi Akiva says to him, ma esa. So what should I do? Shechayav an alei and misa. If you go against Divrei Chachamim, as we said before, you're chayav misa. Now, of course, Rabbi Akiva could have easily, he's in jail, but he wanted to be machmer on himself, Tosfos explains. Mutav omus misas atzmi v'loy ever al das chavera. Better that I should die on my own from not being able to drink, rather than being over on the words of my colleagues, the chachamim, who said that you have to wash before bread. And by the way, you know, it does bring in, some of the poskim say there maybe are hakerim, maybe if you're eating less than a kabetza, maybe if you wrap up your hands. The Alter Rebbe at the end of Hilchos Netilas Yadayim says nothing doing. When it comes to bread, there's no heter except to wash. We see that in our Gemara over here. Rabbi Akiva can't just wrap up his hands. He can't eat less than a kazayas at a time or whatever. He has to wash. Well, Amru, so they said, Loi tam klum ad shehevelei mayim v'noto yadav. Rabbi Akiva would not eat any of the food until they brought him more water. They finally managed to convince the guards, I guess, that, look, you know, if you don't let him, he's going to die in jail. And that's going to, your whole plan is you want to keep him alive and make a public trial out of him, whatever. So they finally allowed to bring him more water. And then he washed his hands and he had what to drink also. When the Chachamim heard that story, Amru, they said, if you see that Rabbi Akiva is doing this even when he's old and it's much harder for him to last without water for that extra time, then you can be sure when he was younger, how much more so that he was careful with Nitzilus Yadayim. And if even he's doing it in jail, how much more so that he was always careful with it when he's not in jail. Now, you do have an interesting point over here, which is, you have a famous machlokas between the Rambam and a number of other Rishonim on the question, are you allowed to be Moser Nefesh where the Torah doesn't require you to? We know you have to be Moser Nefesh for the big three, Avodah Zarah, Gilad, Ayis, and Shefach Zamim. We know if it's Shas HaShmad, we know if it's a Bifahestia, etc. But other than that, the Rambam holds, if none of those things apply, you're not allowed to go on Moser Nefesh, and if you do, then it's considered suicide. On the other hand, many Rishonim hold you are allowed to. So what would the Rambam do with our story in the Gemara over here? So one possibility is, it may have been Shas HaShmad, but not necessarily because, eventually the Chum heard of it, doesn't actually Bafasiyah. Bafasiyah is when, at the time, 10 people know about it. Shas HaShmad, it may or may not have been. At this point, the Romans had outlawed learning Torah, which is why Rabbi Akiva was thrown in jail in the first place. Not necessarily had they outlawed all the other mitzvahs yet. So one explanation is that when you have that there is a concept that when a tzaddik in the generation sees that there's a certain mitzvah that people are being careless with, then he's allowed to go on extra mesiras nefesh for it even when it's not required. So that might have been the case over here. People might have been getting careless with Nitzilus Yadayim in those days, and therefore Rabbi Akiva felt he has to be machmir in order to set an example. Another possibility is maybe when he's saying over here that he's going to die, it doesn't mean literally he's not necessarily going to die on the spot. It just means it's going to make him weaker than he otherwise would be. Even okay, he's old, he still could manage to last a day without drinking. Or, with only drinking less than usual. So it wouldn't necessarily kill him on the spot. It would just make him weaker, and then the Rambam would agree that he could do that. I saw a cute vote on it, we know that Rabbi Akiva, we know from the Gemara in Brachas, Rabbi Akiva is saying, when they killed him, then he was saying, Shema, and Yotzen, and Shmasi Be'echad, and he said to his Talmidim, all my life I've been looking forward to that I should be able to die, Al-Kiddush Hashem, and now I finally have the opportunity, so I'm happy for it. So he's saying over here, on the other hand, if I don't drink this water, I might die. Mutav sh'almost misas atzmi. Better that I should give up the desire that I had all this time to die al Kiddush Hashem. If it means I'm going to die because I don't drink from this water, I'm willing to do that rather than be over on Dibre Chacham. So even to give up his life dream of Mesiras Nefesh, he's willing to do that for this. Okay. Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel. When Shlomo HaMelech made the takonis of Eruvin, meaning Eruv Chatzeres, and of Netilas Yadayim, so Eruv Chatzeres, the purpose of it is, Rashi explains, it's a siyog. Like this, a person, the Rambam explains it also in Hilchos Eruvin, that if you're allowed to carry from one chatzor to another, or from houses into the chatzor or whatever, you may mistakenly think that you're allowed to carry in Rosh HaSarabim. You're going to think the chatzor is like Rosh HaSarabim. A lot of people walk around in it. So you're going to think you're allowed to carry in Rosh HaSarabim as well, or between Rosh HaSayach and Rosh HaSarabim. And that's why, to avoid that, is why Shlomo made the takana of Eruv Chatzeres. And Tilos Yadayim, the Gemara explains in Shabbos, the original takana of the Tilos Yadayim was if you're going to be eating kodshim. Later Chachamim made it also if you're going to eat Truma, and later on even if you're going to eat Cholin, but the original Takana that Shlomo made was in order to be able to eat Kodshim, you have to wash your hands. So when he did that, Yotza Basko V'Omra, Basko came out and said, Bni im Chacham Libecha, my son, meaning Shlomo, if your heart is wise, Yismach Libi Gam Oni, then my heart is also happy. But Omer, and another pasuk also in Mishlei says a similar idea, Chacham Bni V'Samach Libi, my son is wise, my heart is happy, but Oshiva Chofi Dover, and I will now be able to respond back to those who make fun of me with a solid statement. So Marashar explains, these two psukim represent these two takanis. One represents Eruv Chatzeres, that he had the chokhba to realize that there could be that confusion between Rosh HaSariach and Rosh HaSarabim, and between the chotzer and Rosh HaSarabim and whatever. And the other one, Rosh Shiva Chofi Dava, refers to the concept of the Tolos Yadayim, where we find in later generations there were people who were mezalzel in it, as we just said, that there were people who were careless with that being. And therefore, so Hashem is saying now in the pasuk that no, now that you made that takana, we'll be able to answer such people and explain to them that it is an important takana chachamim, and you have to keep it. Dorashrova, my dichtiv, Rava Darshin's a pasuk, another pasuk in Shirashim. It's actually the pasuk right before. So earlier on, at the top of the Amud, we quoted the pasuk Hadudoyim Nosnu Reach, and Rava gave a drosh on it. This pasuk that we're going to quote now is the pasuk right before it. So Marsha explains they were part of the same drosha originally. The Gemara just mentioned the second one first because it was relevant over there. Now we're going back and giving the first part of Rava's drosha. My dichtiv lachod doidi neitzei asoda nalina makforim. The pasuk, you have the pasuk can go like this. Come, my beloved, neitzei asoda, let's go out to the fields. Nalina makforim, we'll stay overnight in the villages. Nashkima lakromim, we'll get up early in the morning and go to the vineyards. Nire imporcha gefen, we'll see whether the grapevines are flowering. Pita hasmodar, whether the smodar has opened up. Smodar is a very early stage of the growth of the fruit. You can see that there are grapes there or other kinds of fruit, but they're very, very tiny. If the pomegranates have sprouted, shom eten es doidai loch, and now I will give my love to you. So what do those psukim mean? The pasuk is saying, come my beloved Hashem, let's go out to the field. Meaning, Omra Knesset Yisrael of now, Kodesh Baruch Hu, Ribbono Shelolam, Al Tidineni Ki Yoshvei Krakim, don't judge me like the people who live in big cities. Sheyesh Ben Gezel V'Arayas V'Shvas Shav V'Shvas Sheker, where in big cities you have problems of stealing and Arayas, and people swearing falsely or for no purpose, because in big cities you have a lot of people, so you have a lot more cases where people are going to Dine Torah and sometimes swearing falsely, or just where people are doing business with each other on the street, and, you know, a person will say, I swear to God, such and such, and it's not necessarily true or whatever. So don't judge me like that. Ella, neitzei hasodeh, rather, let's go out to the field, meaning, boivar echa, tamer hachamim, sha'oskim ha'torah, b'techan tchak. Come, I'll show you the tamer hachamim, who live in the little towns, and they work as farmers, because that's what everybody did, and who lived in small towns in those days. They worked as farmers, and they still learn Torah, even though they have a very hard time of it. A farmer's life is very, very hard, very, very, you know, there's a tremendous amount of physical work you have to do on a farm, and still, these people fatifstich and learning Torah. The pasuk continues, Nolino Bakfarim, let's stay over in the villages. What's Bakfarim? I'll take Bakfarim Ella Bakofrim. Don't read Bakfarim, but rather Bakofrim among the ones who deny. Meaning, Boiva Arecha Oysam, come, let me show you those. And actually, this is something changed by the censor. At the bottom over here, it says it's supposed to be Zare Shal Esav, the descendants of Esav. She Shvata Lehen Tova, you gave them so much good, Behen Kofra Bucha, and they deny you. They're Kofrim, they deny that Hashem runs the world. So let me show you the contrast between us and them. The pasuk continues, Nashkima lakromim, let's get up and go to the vineyards. Eile botek nisiyas or botem edrashis, this is the shuls and the botem edrash, where people sit in rows like in a vineyard. We had in Brachas, for example, Kedem b'Yavne, at the yeshiva in Yavne, it was called the vineyard in Yavne, because the Talmidim sat in rows like vines in a vineyard. Nira in Parcha Gefen, we'll see if the grapevines have blossomed. Eile Bala Mikra, that refers to, we'll see, we'll find over there people who are learning Mikra, who are learning Tanakh. That's like a flower. You can't eat the flower, but it shows there's something better to come. You can't learn Halacha from Torah Shebichsav, but it's an important stage in learning. So it's like flowers. Pita Hasmodar, the smodar has developed, so you have these tiny little grapes. Eva Bali Mishnah, that refers to the people who are learning Mishnah. Because the Mishnah has the halachas in it, but it's like they're undeveloped grapes. You can't eat them yet. You can't pass an halacha directly from the Mishnah, but it's a further stage in learning. You have, at least now, you know the basic halachas, and now you need Gemara in order to analyze them. When it says the pomegranates have developed, that refers to the Bali Gemara, where they're now they have everything that's needed in order to be able to actually learn and pass in halacha and know what to do. Shom eten es doidai loch, and when the pasuk finishes off, there I will give my love to you, means ar echa kvodiu v'goidli shvach bonei of noise. There I will show you, in these places, in the shoals and the batei medrash, where you have these people who are learning mikra, mishnah, and gemara, that is where I will show you my honor and my greatness and the shvach and the praise of my sons and daughters who learn Torah and keep mitzvahs. And then he continued with the next drasha about Hadudoyim Nosnu Reach, that Hadudoyim and Val Psachenu Komagodim refer to the Jewish young men and women who hold back the Yetzirah and then do only the right thing. Okay. And we'll continue tomorrow with the rest of the Sagadta, and then get back to matters of Pasi Berois and other topics. Shreyach.